so we're just going to touch on some high points of this message today because God gave it to me for a reason, right? Yeah. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad all of you are all here today and know that you've been blessed. Amen. Wee! That's all you can say. But God. But God. Amen. The Bible tells us in John chapter 20, 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So there's some things that three or four things that I want to bring out in this text of scriptures that he spoke to the disciples that we can apply to our life today. Amen. The resurrected Savior rising and coming to them that day. And three things that I want to touch on off is that he offered them peace, power, and purpose. Peace, power, and purpose. So we're going to be looking at this and taking some things out of this so we can apply it to our own lives and live to be an overcomer. The three things, the doors are locked, the disciples are afraid, or they were fearful, they were frightened. And then it says Jesus came and stood in the midst. So remember those three things. These tells us a lot of things about the risen Christ. The doors were locked. Jesus did not have to knock. He did not have to say, "I'm coming in." He was just there. He just appeared in their midst. He did not have to open the door. He was simply there, and he was not a ghost. Amen? So verse 20 said, he showed them his hands and said, in another place in Luke, it says, "Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." He was simply there in spite of the closed doors. So no matter what's happened in your life that has caused your door of your heart to be closed, that you have put your hands up and think you can't even allow Jesus there, amen? I want you to know he comes in the midst of your mess. He comes in the midst of your situation. He is right there in the middle of it. Whether you're on the mountaintop or where you're in the valley, he is there. So he can go where nobody else can go. He can go, he's there where no friend can be, amen, where no counselor can be. He can go where no doctor can be. Amen. Amen. Jesus simply appeared in their midst even when the door was locked. Glory to God. So how many times will we allow fear to stop us? The word says the disciples were frightened. They were afraid. And how many times have we locked the door to our heart because of fear? Because of the fear of the unknown. Fear of maybe stepping out. Maybe fear of change. Maybe fearful of a doctor's report. How many times have we locked our heart and not allow God in? Jesus has said, "I come to my own when they are afraid. I don't wait for them to get their act together and make sure all their T's are crossed and their I's are dotted." He says, "I come right where you are." He says, "I come right where you are." I don't have to wait for them to have enough faith to overcome. You already have enough faith in the mountains right now. And as Sister Foy said one time, we don't have to have much faith, but we have faith in a big God. Amen. That's where the key's at, church. So he comes to us when we cry out to him in fear. Jesus said, "Fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God and I will help you." That's found in Isaiah chapter 41. Jesus comes to them and stands in their midst. Verse 19, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. He wanted them to see him. He wanted them to know him and believe in him. And through that, they could begin to love him. He came to them not as someone that would be judgmental or that would offer condemnation. He came to them as their friend and as their Savior. He got down on their level so he could talk to them. And that's where we're at today. Jesus is not some far-off person that you cannot connect to. He's already there. You don't have to pray him down. He's already there. Amen. So he said, we have talked about the door being locked. They were afraid. And then how Jesus came into the midst. Now let's look at the three things that Jesus gives them. He gives them peace, power, and purpose. Because without peace, there is conflict. Without peace, there is turmoil. Without peace, without power, there is weakness. And without purpose, there's no vision. And the Bible says a person without a vision, it's like a ship going nowhere. If you don't have a vision, within that vision, it gives you a purpose. So many lives have been ruined by conflict. People who seem to have no peace and continually search for this peace in all the wrong places. So he immediately offers them peace as a foundation. Because if you've not come to receive that gift of peace and make it that foundation, your purpose, your vision, everything in life will never work out. Because you will go through life in turmoil and conflict because you will not know the love of God because you think he's out to get you, that he's not for you. You can't have peace with yourself because you are allowing the enemy to keep you under condemnation because of your past. So you can never move forward until you know the God of peace that lives inside of you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You have it within you. It's a gift. You receive it. So many lives have been ruined because of weakness. Those who think they have no power. The power that's been given to us to live an overcoming life. Many lives seem to have been ruined because people say they have no purpose. So they spend their whole life looking for purpose. Whereas, it's like I've told you all before. If you'll get up every day and say, today I have purpose. And pretty soon you'll just be walking in purpose. You don't have to go looking for it, banging on doors for it. If you'll just get up every morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I thank you, Lord, that I have a job to go to. I woke up knowing who I am. I have that peace. So I'm just going to do what I know to do today. And everything else just falls into place. And if you're not where you're supposed to be content where you are and try to get out of where you are and try to find your purpose. When God says, if you'll just fulfill the moment, you'll walk in your you'll walk in your now. Amen. So get up in the morning with a renewed sense of purpose. I've got peace. Because of that, I don't have conflict with myself, with anybody on my job, or anything else. I'm walking in peace, and that's the foundation that I'm going to build my purpose on. And I'm just going to start walking in what I know God has called me to do. So Jesus did not come into the world and die and rise again to ruin our lives. He came in our life to cause us to have fulfillment and joy now. John 3:17 says, God did not send his own son into the world to condemn the world. If you are in condemnation, it's not God. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, that is Jesus. So Jesus came in the world to save us, not condemn us. Amen. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to destroy it or to condemn it, but he came to save it and to restore it. So whatever you've lost, look beyond that thing of just salvation. I'm saved, now I'm going to heaven. I'm going to just barely get by till I get there. The kingdom of God is within you now. Like I said, we need some joy now. So whatever the enemy may have said that have robbed you and you have lost, I've got good news today. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Whatever you've lost, God is going to restore it to you, and it's going to be better than what it was before. Amen. It's not like an old wall that you reconstructed to paint over. God's going to give you a brand new wall.
Amen.
Somebody receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Whatever you've lost, hallelujah, God is going to restore it to you.
Amen.
It's finished.
Amen.
Just receive it. You don't have to work for it. We can rest in it. Just receive it. So when you're living a life without peace, without power, without purpose, you are a lost soul. Just aimlessly going through life without no peace and without no purpose. But there is hope. Because there is a but God. He saved us from ruining our lives by becoming himself our peace, our power, and our purpose. Isn't that awesome? All we have to do is just receive it. So what did he say? Two times in this verse, he says to the disciples, peace be with you. So he was trying to get a point across to them. Peace be with you. You have no need to be afraid. You have no need to be frightened. I'm here. Before Jesus says anything to them about power or purpose, he wants to establish peace with them. He says, I'm here, I'm peace. Just receive that. So when we have peace, we will find our power or purpose. Because we will not be in conflict, we'll not be in that turmoil, trying to look for something we've already got. Amen. So somebody gives me a gift, and sometimes we want to just put on this false thing. I don't need that. Oh, you shouldn't have. And sometimes that's the way we are with God. When he says it's a gift, just receive it. We're like, oh, God, you shouldn't have done that. He said, why shouldn't I do it? I sent my son, and he gave his life for you, and then he resurrected for you to have it. It's a gift. Receive it and open it. Woo! Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:14 says, he, Jesus himself, is our peace, who made us both one Jew and Gentile and reconciled both to God in one body through the cross, therefore by killing the hostility. We have no hostility toward anybody today. Jesus did it when he hung on the cross. The peace that Jesus was speaking to them is the peace that he accomplished when he died for them on the cross. That's why verse 20, he says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. I am the one who died. I'm the one that you abandoned. I'm the one that you crucified. I'm the one who was pierced for your transgression. And the reason I come to offer you this peace is because my blood, I have covered all your sins, past, present, and future. Amen. Past, present, and future. All your sins are covered. The wrath of God has been turned away. He's not out to get you. He's not trying to show you his wrath. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance. If something bad is happening to you, it's the enemy that's causing you to make wrong choices. Amen? Glory to God. He said, I've come to give you life. The devil is a bad devil and God is a good God.
Amen.
Amen. So the wrath of God has been turned away from us because of the blood that was shed on the cross. And then he was resurrected. Ephesians 2:16 says, Paul says, Christ reconciled us both to God through the cross, therefore killing the hostility. So let's spend just a few more minutes on peace, because it's so important that you receive and that you know that you have this peace, because it's going to take care of a lot of your problems. It's just like once you begin to get a rhema word, a revelation of God's love and how much he loves you, that's going to take care of a lot of things in our life. And realize it's not anything we've done, it's simply because of the love of God. Amen. So many Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians, are living a life without peace, and the opposite of that peace is what? Turmoil, anxiety, and worry. The resurrected Christ has brought us peace with him. He is standing there and he's offering the disciples, a friend, a helper. I'm here. I'm not here to condemn you for being frightened. I'm not here to condemn you for what you did. You abandoned me. I'm not here. I'm here to offer you my friendship, my help. Amen. So how can we go where he can go where no best friend can go? He can reach you and reach into you where anywhere, anytime. He just came into the midst of them, even though the door was locked. There's no place where you are, no depth of personhood that you are, which Jesus cannot penetrate. His resurrection of the dead fits him to do what no one else can do. The word says that they were afraid. They had a reason to be afraid. They were afraid of the Jews. So when Jesus steps into your situation, he comes not as a judge or a condemner, but as a helper and a friend to say, I am here. Do not fear. He made peace through Jesus by substituting God. God sent Jesus as a substitute for us and suffering for our penalty so that well, you remember the song. We hadn't heard it sung for a long time. I had a debt I could not pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Now the peace between us and others and who we are in Christ, it has been paid. The Bible says in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is either not bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. He is no respecter of persons, of race and or creed or sex. Amen. Peace between us and our souls. Hebrews 9 says, the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You have heard, you know, you need to make peace with your past. You need to make peace with your past. Have you heard that? Peace does not mean that past sins cease to be painful, but it is the process of being healed. Amen? So the pain of the past may not be taken away immediately, but the penalty is taken away immediately because of the blood of Jesus. And that's what it makes it possible to heal and to be able to move on in life in our purpose. And so we receive all of this as a gift from God. And then he begins to speak purpose to the disciples. He said, peace with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am to send you. And that was the purpose he began to speak to them. He said, I want to live in this world as my representatives. I want you to be an ambassador for me. That's our purpose here on this earth, is to be a representative and an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Brother Foy says, go out and tell people what Jesus has done. We've seen a dead man in church this morning. Amen. That has come back to life. And they're going to go, what? Yeah. He was dead for 30 minutes and he was brought back to life. Amen. So he said to them, take my peace and take my power, take my glory and go. Take my peace, take my power, take my glory and go. Jesus came to live, die, be resurrected, gave us peace, and God gives us purpose. And within that purpose, there's power. Because God never calls you to do something that you can think you can do it within your own self. Because when God calls you to do something, you're going to think it's impossible. Then that's when you know it's God. So within that purpose, he gives you power to do it. And then you will know as you go what to do. Amen? Because when God calls you to do something, you're standing over peeking over the wall and thinking, there's no way. God says, you just do what I call you to do day for day, and I'll send you all the help you need or whatever you may need. And I'll give you the Holy Spirit to do that. He breathed on them, it says, and to them received the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is going to pour out the Holy Spirit when he ascended into heaven in Acts 2:33. And I read somewhere that was like 7 weeks later, when they were in the upper room. So after his resurrection in 1 Acts chapter 1, we begin to read, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The work of the Holy Spirit Jesus gives to us makes us able to do what we are simply not able to do on our own. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you could have saved yourself, Jesus would have had no need to go to the cross. But we needed all of that. Amen? So John 20:22, Jesus performs a kind of acted out a parable. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive him at this very moment. So he talked to them about peace. He talked to them about purpose. And now he was going to give them the power to do what needed to be done. They had the peace to know that God was for them, not against them. They were not in conflict or turmoil with himself or anyone else or with God. And then he gave them purpose. Go out and be my ambassadors. Go out and be my representatives. And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, which gave them the power to do what he had called them to do. Amen. That's it. That's all I feel like saying today. That's it. I'm not going to make it. That's all you need to know. It's finished. It's a gift. You receive it. Go out and do. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to say what I thought to say. I'm going to say it. Amen. Stand this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place today, for your word that's alive and living in us. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the power of your Holy Spirit that we have been commissioned to go and to do, not within our own strength, Lord, but know that we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do. And we thank you for that today, Lord. Thank you for ministering people today. Thank you for the testimonies in the days ahead, Lord, of what you have done in this service today. Thank you, Father, for already healing bodies, Lord, for taking away depression in Jesus' name, and oppression in the name of Jesus, that we are healed, delivered, and saved, and sanctified. And the church said,
Amen. Amen.